Stand up, Nuggets Nation. Denver Sports presents the Mile High Hoops Podcast with Zach Bye. Denver Sports is your home for the most Nuggets content. Now here's your host, Zach Bye.
What is up and welcome to another edition of the Mile High Hoops Podcast. As always, I am your host, Zach Bye. And as always, I appreciate you spending a sliver of your busy day with me right here on the pod, reacting to a heartbreaking loss on national TV against the Dallas Mavericks on Sunday, but also looking ahead to a matchup against the Timberwolves. At the time of recording, and this is very relevant here to both conversations, it's Tuesday afternoon. We've been doing this podcast for a long time. This is now six seasons of doing the Mile High Hoops podcast. And this year was different. We're now scheduled on Tuesdays and Thursdays, so we can air on all our social media channels, YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and all this stuff. And if you haven't subscribed to the podcast on YouTube, do that. Hit the notification button so you never miss a video. Subscribe, leave a comment. Love to see the growth of this thing. But so I'm mentioning that because the Dallas game is now a couple days ago. All right, that was on Sunday afternoon. And then the game against the Timberwolves is about maybe 6 hours from now, something like that. So we're going to talk and react to the game a little bit on Dallas because there's a couple thoughts I want to get out, but also speaking more general about what's going to take place and the dynamics with the Timberwolves here. We'll do that here in just a couple minutes. First, you know, I thought about this while I was on the air with my co-host Philip Lindsay, the Drive 2-6 on the Fan, and I'm like, man, you know what conversation I haven't heard in a while, and one that we used to have like a lot here in Denver, especially in like 2019 would be like maybe like the sweet spot, because Denver was already in the playoffs for a few previous years before that, and the schedule would come out and it'd be like, what the hell? The Nuggets only got 7 national TV games or 5 national TV games. And that was like, that was a really big talking point. The lack of respect for national TV games. We don't have those conversations anymore, much like we don't have like conversations about Michael Porter Jr.'s health really the same way we used to, because when things shift, that just becomes a non-factor. And the Nuggets are on national TV all the time now. I mean, we had a stretch 2 weeks ago where they had four consecutive games on national TV. And so it was another one, but that's the big boy time slot on Sunday afternoon in that ABC 3:30 Eastern time. That's the big boy priority spot from the NBA. And that's where the Nuggets were. And you know, it was so funny. And again, we don't talk about this anymore, but if you've been around for a bit here in Denver following this team, it would be like the Nuggets got 5-7 games on national TV and they would go out and lose them. They'd go out and lose them. And you felt like you're taking crazy pills because it was like, no, I follow the team. They're really good. This guy Jokic, you gotta watch. Like, they're good. They're up and coming. They're good. Like, they're gonna be a legit contender. And then they'd go on national television and they would lose. And it'd be like, people be like, get this team off the TV. And that was the dynamic there for a bit. And how things have changed, right? When you're in the playoffs and you're making a run to the finals, we got to see the Nuggets 20 games in a row on national TV last year during the NBA playoffs. So it's all good. Really, just a couple quick thoughts on the actual game itself. It was a heartbreaking loss, 107-105, in a game that ends with a Kyrie Irving left-handed hook shot from like the elbow. What? I can't remember seeing a finish like that. Kyrie Irving's going to go to the Hall of Fame, all right, and that will go on his career highlight. And there's a lot of awesome stuff that Kyrie has done in the regular season that will just get left off that 10-minute career highlight because there's so much content there over the last 10, 12 years. But that one will make it. That was legendary. But the fact that it came down to that, it should have never came down to that. And you got the big 32-foot whatever it was from Luka Doncic where AG goes under the screen. I mean, that's what happens against Dallas when you leave it to a coin flip game. They have two guys that are big-time shot takers and shot makers. All right, so the fact that Luka hit that shot, it's no grand surprise for me. Although it was kind of wild and unconventional, the fact that Kyrie hit a game winner, that's not a big shock to me. The fact that the Nuggets got out-rebounded by 22 rebounds, that's a shock to me. Okay, and I look at rebounding in the game of basketball. It's one of the most least talked about underrated thing, and specifically defensive rebounding, where when you pull that ball off the rim, their possession is over, okay? And we don't talk about it a lot because it's not sexy. We talk about the guys like Luka and Kyrie and Jamal and Jokic and, you know, MVP candidacy and shot making and handling the basketball and all the sexy stuff that the game has to offer. And that stuff deserves to get talked about. But I look at rebounding in basketball much like I look at the trenches in professional football. We talk about the quarterbacks and receivers and tight ends, and but we rarely break down the trenches because it's not sexy. But if you don't handle your business in the trenches, you will lose almost every single football game you play. If you do not handle your business on the defensive rebounding department, you will lose almost every single game you play. And when you talk about the number of offensive rebounds that were given up to the Mavericks, which relates directly to the defensive rebounding of the Nuggets, you're talking about 22 offensive rebounds. That is incredible. I mean, that's astonishing. And in fact, I just quoted the total rebound number incorrectly. The Nuggets were out-rebounded by 23 rebounds and gave up 22 offensive rebounds. That's just mind-numbing. That's 22 times that a possession has a chance to be over and was extended for an extra opportunity. And look, offensive rebounds are going to happen. The ball bounces funny ways, right? But 22, that's a thing, right? To Denver's, what, six? So you're talking about a difference. I mean, that's just mind-numbing. And you see Malone coming out of that one timeout when the bench was on the floor, which did a horrible job rebounding the ball. Just four total rebounds from the Nuggets bench, and half of those were from Peyton Watson. And Malone screaming, saying, effing rebound, and it looked like his head was going to completely explode. I'm convinced one of these days it's just going to explode, and it's going to be like Faces of Death on like an NBA floor. It's going to be Michael Malone's head exploding. For like Zeke Nagy, like on a rotation or a rebound. I mean, you're going to lose those games. Just like if you just can't stop the run in football, well, you're just going to get run on and lose. To me, that's the central reason why they lost. It is. But in addition to that, Jokic plays a C-minus game, 6 of 16 from the floor. Just didn't have it, period. Just didn't have it. And he was getting mauled, and I want to talk about that here in a minute if we have time, but Jokic plays a C-minus game. Jamal doesn't really show up until crunch time. And the Nuggets played great in crunch time. But when you're down 13 midway through the fourth quarter, crunch time doesn't matter as much when you're in that type of hole with, you know, 6 minutes left. So you put it all together. Jokic's C-minus game. Jamal Murray not having his A game. Luka going for 37 points. Kyrie making a left-handed hook with no time left. Getting killed on the glass, all this stuff. And the Nuggets almost won on the road in a hostile environment against a Mavericks team that's been playing well. So I actually walked away from the game like not like it put a pep in my step, because I would have liked them to go, 12-1 out of the All-Star break and not 11-2. But they are 11-2. And these are a bit of champagne problems here for Denver. That's just the facts, all right? The fact that they almost won that game and put themselves in a position to win after all that stuff we itemized is remarkable. And it's a testament to how good this team is and the switch-flipping nature that they have. Now, that can get you in trouble, too, and it did, right? It did. But big picture, real-world playoff time, playoff series, you have to beat that team four times in a row? And it's tough, man. And that's why I kind of walked away like big picture, like almost optimistic following a loss, which is unusual. The officiating has totally changed. We've been talking about it here for a while. And shout out, anyone who was looking at the podcast, looking for the podcast last week. I was in New York for a sports media convention, but before we took that little break, we're talking about the changing of the whistle in the NBA coming out of the All-Star break. It's just different. They've changed the rules on the fly. They have disassembled a piece of the airplane while it's in the air, right? I can't think of another example of a pro sports league that changed a fundamental way that they call the game during the season. This is not like a new point of emphasis. They're not putting the air in the whistle. They are not rewarding offensive players looking to get fouled and go to the free throw line. They're not rewarding it. And I think it's ultimately good for the game, but it's a tough transition mid-season because the contrast of the scoring explosion in the first, you know, few months of the season, and then coming out of the All-Star break, it's like if you just bet the under every single time in every NBA game, you're making money right now because it's tough to adjust to what we're seeing. But the reason I'm bringing it up, because Jokic and the Nuggets, but Jokic in particular, need to get used to being officiated this way or not officiated, right? They're just letting him get beat up. And first half, you could probably count 7 fouls on Jokic that would have been called 2 months ago that aren't being called now. You call it unfair, call it what you want, but it's happening. So the Nuggets need to adjust. Jokic specifically, because his temperament, it gets hurt by this setup. And for him to refocus on the fly and play through it, you're seeing on a day like Sunday afternoon on ABC against Dallas, him struggle to regain his bandwidth within the game, fighting through the adversity and still finding a way. And he's got to get used to it because they're calling it now like they're going to in the playoffs. So just prepare for it, right? And Jokic isn't asking me for advice, but if I were to give him some, is be prepared to be emotionally disturbed and then play through it. Okay, tonight we're going to put a bow on this thing, but tonight, a few hours from now, it's the Timberwolves and the Nuggets. This goes back to 2017 where these two teams played in Game 82 and the winner was going to go to the playoffs and the loser went home, and that was Minnesota. And they met last year in the playoffs. Competitive series, despite Denver winning in 5. 4 of the 5 games were settled by single figures. There was an overtime loss mixed in there. We know Minnesota's coming. Without Karl Anthony Towns, they're a different team. Don't know what the status is tonight. I've seen at the time of recording, you know, Naz Reid is questionable and Anthony Edwards is questionable after one of the greatest dunks I've ever seen in my life, him putting it on John Collins of the Jazz in a way that is just shockingly athletic. But that's who that guy is. But he hurt his finger. Don't know if he's going to play. I'm expecting him to play. This is big boy ramifications. This is for the number one seed. Both teams are tied for the second seed and a half game back of the first seed. All right. And so I think they're both 47 and 21. I'm not looking at the standings here. 47 and 21. They both are. So this is a road game. It's a big boy game. I'm expecting Denver to go in there and win. I'll just tell you, especially coming off a loss when the sense of urgency wasn't there. And I'm expecting a 10 out of 10 competitive spirit, no matter who plays, because a lot's riding on this game. And I think Denver's going to go in there and win. That is my expectation. And it doesn't matter who plays or who doesn't play. All right. This is about Denver taking care of business. All right. And I'm expecting that to be the case tonight. All right. We're going to leave it there for now, guys. Thank you for being here with me on the podcast. We'll be back on Thursday to react to what happened, tonight on Tuesday. And also, look ahead to the New York Knicks at home in Ball Arena, a fun team to watch that I just watched in Madison Square Garden for the first time this past week, my first Madison Square Garden experience. I grew up in New York and just didn't have the resources to make it at the time. Just didn't have it like that. So it was crazy to be living in Denver for years, going to so many Nuggets games, visiting New York and seeing that Knicks team in the Garden. They're a blast, and we'll preview that on Thursday. Whatever happens tonight in Minnesota, we'll be back on Thursday talking about it right here on the Mile High Hoops podcast.